Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. Thank you. Good morning, and it is truly a blessing to be here to worship with all of you this morning. I come with my wife, Sherry, and my oldest daughter, Greta, and then our son, Anders, and our son, Silas. And our youngest is Freya. So feel free to come and introduce yourself after the church, after our service. It's good to meet you and see you. But there's a very unique thing that we always get to experience when we get to visit a new congregation that I haven't spoke at before, is there's this feeling of peace that you are all part of the body of Christ. And so we feel like we are home no matter where we go. It's always, sometimes you might wonder, well, I wonder how it's going to feel once I'm there. But it's always the same feeling. And you know that that's the peace that God gives us, that whenever we are in fellowship with fellow believers, we can feel that peace. And it's good that we come together and we can see each other and speak with each other so we can feel encouraged by the strength and peace that God gives us, and He uses others to give this to us. So today's scripture reading is going to be from John chapter 1, starting with verse 29 through verse 45. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bare record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. This word is true, and we pray that you will give this word to me through your Holy Spirit, and that you would open the ears and the minds and the hearts to receive this word, so we can go forth and proclaim this word to all men and women. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you've been following along with the church calendar, you can see that this is John continuing the story after John the Baptist had baptized Jesus, and Jesus is coming to him, and there is a it's a very interesting part here right off the bat when John says what is really a great testimony, and you could almost say it's the shortest sermon that's given in the Bible, where he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." When he says this, this is an answer. This is an answer to many questions that have been asked. And if we read through the whole Bible from beginning to end, you can see in Genesis where Isaac asks, "Where is the lamb?" He asks, "Where is the sacrifice?" And now this is the answer when he gives this saying, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God." Because now he's recognizing that Jesus Christ is the Lamb who is to be this sacrifice. And in Revelations in chapter 5, they ask, John asks, or the angel asks, "Who is worthy to open the scroll? Who is worthy to break this seal?" And John weeps because he sees that no one is worthy. He knows he's not worthy, just as none of us would be worthy. But John receives an answer, and the answer is that there is one who is worthy. He is worthy to open the scroll. And that is the answer that is given there, that it is this Lamb. Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God, is now come, and he is worthy. He is worthy to be the sacrifice to pay for our sins, and his blood has been shed to cleanse us from our sins. And he comes to take away not only our sins, but the sins of the world. Not just you, but to everybody. And when you read through this, and as you start to study the Greek from it, he's not just saying you individually, but he's saying you, as in you all, as in the whole world. Each and every one of you is who he has come. Now, he continues on. One other point here before we move on is that when John sees Jesus, it says he sees him coming to him. Jesus Christ is coming to John. And this is a very, very interesting thing. It doesn't say that John saw Jesus and he had to catch up to him, or he doesn't even say that he saw Jesus walking by. It says he saw Jesus coming to him. And that is how Christ is. That is how God is. He comes to us. He comes to us and finds us. We don't have to wonder where he is. He is coming to us, and he is with us. He wants to dwell in our hearts, and he does dwell in our hearts. And that's why when we come together now, we can speak with one another, and when we receive words from one another, that is how Christ speaks to us, and we can be encouraged and lifted up from that. So it's just very interesting in that sense when you put yourself in John's shoes, that it says Jesus is coming to him. So as he's coming to him, he sees Jesus and he makes this declaration. And then John continues, "This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me." And John says that he was before me. So he's saying Jesus is coming after him in the timeline that they're currently in that Jesus is coming after him. But he also says that this is one who was before him. And this is as in the big picture, as in God's creation, Christ was before him. Revelation tells us that he was the lamb slain from before the foundation of the earth. So, as we know, John came before Jesus, but Jesus was also before John. In verse 31, he continues, "And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him." So, this is John giving testimony that God has told him, the one you see that the Spirit descends on him like a dove, that is who is going to be Christ the Lord. And now John is bearing record of, this is the one who I see. This is the one who I saw the Spirit descending upon. And that's whereas John could only baptize with water, and he only did baptize with water. But now when Jesus Christ comes, he baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So now when we are baptized, we're baptized into the same baptism that Jesus Christ received. Jesus Christ received the Spirit, and we also will receive this Spirit when we are baptized. That it's not just the water. Our baptism would be nothing if Jesus Christ was not baptized. But because Jesus Christ was baptized and he received the Holy Spirit, now our baptism is everything. Because now through that, we've received his Spirit. We've been joined with him. So now we are one with him. And when Peter says baptism now saves you, when we look at it just by itself, we wonder, well, did that really happen? Did my baptism save me? But we can't look at it that it's just about us or it's just about me, because it's the baptism of Jesus Christ that we've been baptized into. And that is such a beautiful thing, because now we are all together in one body, in one flesh with him, that we've all been baptized into this one baptism. So we have the Spirit, and that's why we are saved through this, because this is all one complete story. It's not just one thing that we can pull out and try to come up with different ideas about it. It's all one big story where Jesus was baptized and God saw now that he has come as man, that he saw fit that this is how he should be prepared before he goes to the cross, that he would be baptized and he would receive the Spirit. He didn't need the Spirit, as he already was God himself, but we needed the Spirit. And for us to be baptized into Jesus, this is how we know that we can have confidence that in our baptism, we also have received that Holy Spirit. And we also have been saved because Jesus Christ was baptized, and now we were baptized into that. It's very simple, and we don't need to complicate it in that. It is just very simple in that when we were washed, now we have also been joined together with him. And so now, when he does go to that cross and he dies on the cross and he sheds his blood on that cross to cleanse us from all of our sins and make us perfect, we can have that confidence that our sin is there with him and it is being washed, that we are being washed and we are being made white as snow, because he has declared that we are with him and that we are part of him and that we are all together. So now we can rest in that peace and move forward with that confidence that we will be with him and we will be with him together forever. And then John, the amazing thing is here, he continues on and says, "And I knew him not." Now John repeats this. When you read through this first chapter, John repeats this more than once. He repeats it more than twice. He continues to say he didn't know him. He didn't understand him. John was the last Old Testament prophet. And John was the end of the Old Testament. When John died, it was in conjunction now also with the coming of Jesus that the Old Testament now has gone away, and now we are into the New Testament. And that's why John tells us he didn't know him. I didn't know Jesus, but he knew from God he had direction of who was coming and that it was going to be the Christ. And so that's where, for ourselves even, we can understand that we haven't maybe always known Jesus, or maybe we don't know everything about him. And that's the same way John is telling us here, that he didn't know him. But then he says, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God," because now he saw what had been directed to him from God, and that now that this is Jesus, that this proves that this is the Christ. "Again, the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God." So John says this again, but now he's standing with two of his disciples, and these disciples are John's disciples. And as our natural flesh may feel, if we have someone who follows us, or a man as a leader, they want people to follow them. But John has these followers, and he directs them to Christ. He points them to Christ. So it says his disciples, but then he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Because John wasn't looking to have followers of his own. He wanted these to be followers of Christ. And that's as it is when we speak the gospel and speak the word. As men, we should not want to have followers of ourselves. We should not be, as a preacher, a minister, want to have a following. But we want people to follow Christ. We want to point people to Christ so that they would follow him. And that's how John is telling his disciples in this way. He's pointing them to Christ. "Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, master, or some say, as say, teacher, "where dwellest thou?" And he saith unto them, "Come and see." And so we see here where Jesus simply invites them. He says, "Come and see." He says, and Jesus asks them, "What do you seek?" He doesn't ask them, "What family are you from?" He doesn't ask them, "Well, can I see your resume?" Or he doesn't stop them and say, "Well, there's a few things we need to talk about before you come with me." He just simply says, "Come and see." He invites them to come with him. And that's how he is for anyone today. And that's how we are when we reach out to those who are in unbelief. We can invite them to come and see. If they ask us how we are so happy or how do we have so much joy, well, we can invite them to, well, come and see that there is a better way. We have a better way. We've found this better way, just as the disciples here. And this is the amazing thing in this text, is where these disciples now are coming, and this is where they are seeing Jesus. They are coming to meet him the first time. And they are trying to spend time with him. They have faith. But yet, as we know, they go from here. And as we approach the crucifixion, right up to the hour, some of them, all of them, start to separate themselves from Christ. Jesus is killed and they go into hiding. But he doesn't leave them without. When he returns and he comes back into the upper room, he gives them the Holy Spirit. And he sends them forth. And there's no doubt that, as we see, this was the start in our history, where now, today, all around the world, his truths are being proclaimed because he gave his truth and his spirit to these disciples. And this is the very, very start of this. So it is just, It is so interesting to see how simple Jesus is bringing them, and he is going to equip them. He doesn't ask us to equip ourselves. He doesn't ask us to get ready and then go and do it. He goes and finds them when they are hiding, and even then, he doesn't question them about it. He sends them forward, and that's the same way with us. He doesn't have questions for us, but he's telling us to come and see, and then he's sending them forward. Now he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted Christ. And this is just an amazing telling of Andrew, where when Andrew meets Jesus, then he goes and he finds. And he doesn't just happenstance. When we look at that word find, it's he's intentionally looking for him. And he finds him to tell him that we've found Jesus. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. So Jesus names him. And what do we do just as our natural, if we receive something, when we have a son or a daughter born, we name them. And this is Jesus now. Jesus knows he belongs to him. Jesus names him. And he says, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip. So there we have again, where Jesus goes into Galilee and he finds Philip. He goes looking for him, and he finds him. It doesn't say that Philip was looking for him. And what does he say to him? He says, follow me. That's it. He says, follow me. When you look at the red letters here, they jump right out because everything around it is describing that. But in there, Jesus says, follow me. And that's the simple message that he gives to us today, is follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So then Philip goes and he goes to find Nathanael. And so each one of these, you can see how the word of Jesus, the truth, this lamb, behold the lamb. This message is going out now because it's starting to spread. Everybody, when they meet him and they find him, they go and find someone else and say, look, look at the lamb. Look who we have found. And this is how we can be now today. We can declare this, that look at the lamb. Look who has found us. Later on in John, he says to us, you didn't choose me, I chose you. The words of our Father, the words of our Lord is telling us that we didn't choose him, he chose us. And when he says, I chose you, he's saying, I chose all of you. He's not saying he just chose one of you. And that ties back into the first verse where he says, the Lamb that has come to take away the sin of the world. He has chosen us. And then he has died on the cross, so God views us as worthy. And he views us as worthy because he no longer sees our sin. When Hebrews tells us that God no longer remembers our sins, then that means he no longer remembers them because he is all powerful. So if he wants to erase something from his memory, then he erases it. And that is something that we cannot do on our own. We cannot forget something. Sometimes, no matter how hard we try. But when God wants to forget something, he's forgotten it. And that's where now, when we look in the mirror, you can see yourself and that you have been made perfect. You've been made perfect by the blood of the Lamb that was slain for you. In Revelations 5:9 tells us, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And for this we praise his holy name, because he says, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And this is it. It's the whole world. He's come to be the Lamb slain for all nations, for people who speak all languages, not just a select group, but for everyone, because he has loved all, and he has found us all worthy in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this truth. We thank you for the Lamb that you have given, the perfect sacrifice that you have given, so that we could know life and know it more abundantly. And we thank you that you paid this ultimate price on that cross once and for all. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let us pray with and for them who now will partake of the Lord's Holy Supper. Lord Jesus,